How are we all doing tonight?
Good.
How are you? Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'll be doing really better here once I get going. No, it's good to see everybody here. Glad for those of you who were able to get your nap this afternoon. I was yawning down there. I'll try not to yawn up here, all right? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to do verses 7 through 12 tonight. Now, John has been taking some turns in his discussion here. By the end of chapter 3, we were dealing with what's on the inside, our heart, and the condemnation of our heart, and how that affects our confidence that we have before God. And then, the beginning of chapter 4, he kind of turned outward, and we looked at some of the spirits and testing those spirits. And we looked at false teachings and false prophets and those things that are there. And so we were looking on the inside and then we were looking on the outside and now we're kind of looking back on the inside again. He's got us looking at love. What does it mean to love? What does it mean for a Christian to love? What does it mean for God to love? All these things are covered in these verses here. We could look at it as a test. As a sort of a test, before we were testing maybe what's in our heart, our confidence with God that way, and then we're testing the spirits, the teachings that are around us, and now we're testing our love, or a test of our love. And how many of you get nervous when you go to take a test? Some of us, I like to study for a test like an hour beforehand. And for some reason, I get above a C, usually, you know. But some people really struggle with tests, and then, you know, they'll stress about it for a week or 2 weeks. Well, don't stress about this test. It's an open book test, right? We've got all the answers for this test of love right here in this passage, right in front of us. So don't feel like you got to have everything right to pass the test. The answers are here. So the first thing we're going to look at, the test of love, we're going to look at that God is love. Sounds simple, right? It's profound. There's a lot in there. But God is love. In his character, let's read. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God is love in his character. It's who he is. Now, when we see the term God is love, does that mean that the reverse is true, that love is also God? No. No. The way the grammar is there, it's God is love and you can't flip it around. Now, does this mean that that's all that God is? That God is only love? Well, we've got an awful lot of Bible that tells us an awful lot about God. We know that he's, even in just from 1 John, he's called light also. But we also have, throughout the scriptures, we see God is holy, he's good, he's righteous, he's just. All of these elements of who he is, the attributes, his character. Notice from this that it doesn't say that God just loves, but that he is love. It's not just something that he does, it's a part of who he is. So we should understand that it's his character, it's who he is, it is God, that he is love. And we're going to define that. Well, what kind of love are we talking about here? It's defined, it's sacrificial love. Look at verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This is the sacrificial love of God. We didn't love God first. He loved us first. We didn't make the first move. God didn't look down and see us and say, well, they've loved me and so I'll love them back. No, He moved first. He made the first move of love towards us. It's manifested, it says in verse 9. It's manifested, it's put on display for us to see it. It's something, it's showcased or demonstrated, if you will. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth, God demonstrates His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's His love is put on display in what Jesus Christ did. So the love of God's manifested toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He's unique. There's no one else like Him. He's one and only. He's the special Son of God and God the Son. And He was sent into the world. Where does He belong? Well, Christ is from heaven, high above us, yet He humbles Himself to come down into the world and be among us, be with us here so that we could see what kind of love He had. He stepped out to do that, that we might live through Him. He sent His Son into the world so that we could have life. We can't live apart from Him. There's no hope for us. The text says that the only way that we could love God is by being born of God and by knowing Him. The only way we could love one another is by being born of God and by knowing Him. So in verse 10, He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christ was sent, and He was sent on a mission to accomplish something. He didn't just come down to the world to check it out and see how things were going here and leave. He had a mission in mind that He was here to accomplish. And that mission was to be the propitiation for our sins. It's not just something that He did, just like the love of God. It's not just something that He did, it's who He is. He's the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is a picture of, and kind of reminiscent of, the atonement that we read about in the Old Testament. And this isn't our first time talking about it. We talked about it for chapter 2. But this is what it represents. In the Old Testament, in the law, the children of Israel would every year have the Day of Atonement. They called it Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, when they would sacrifice. They would have a ram, they would have a goat, and they would have a scapegoat that would go free. And these are the sacrifices that they would do, and you can go and read about them. And in this process, the blood of the bull, his throat would be slit, but while they would do that, before they would do that, they would put their hands on it. And it would signify that they're transferring blame or guilt or responsibility to that animal. And in doing that, that's the picture I know that I'm the one who sinned. This animal's taking my place just for this year, for this atonement process that's happening. And so the blood would be taken, and some of it would be put on the horns of the altar of incense. And some of that incense would be burned in front of the curtain, in front of the veil that goes to the holiest place. And then after everything was done, just so, in order, and exactly right, they can't make mistakes here, then some of the blood would be taken into the Holy of Holies, and there's the Ark of the Covenant, and there's cherubim, and we don't know exactly how it looked, but we can get a good picture from the descriptions in the Bible. And there's the mercy seat right in the middle. And the priest would take that blood and would sprinkle it like this, 7 times on that mercy seat. That mercy seat. And that was the atonement in the Old Testament. Now this isn't exactly the same, but it's a very similar picture, that Christ is that final atoning sacrifice for our sins. That year after year, they would do this under the law. But when Christ came, He did it once for all. He did it the last time. He did it for good. He gave of Himself for what? For our sins. Did he have to come and do that? Did we deserve something like this? No. He took what we deserved to bring us peace with God, to bring us into a right relationship with God. And so you could look at this sacrificial love this way. That Christ took that step. He took initiative. He took the first step that was necessary in order to accomplish that, what was necessary for us to have a right relationship with God. And he accomplished that. That was the self-sacrificing love of God that's being described here. When we say that God is love, this is the kind of love that he is. The kind that completely gives himself to undo the problems that we had done so that we could have a right relationship with him. He died in our place. Now, these could be some ideals that we could, you know, it's very distant, right? God's way over there and I'm way over here. How does the love of God affect me? God is love in us. Verses 7, let's read verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." And the reverse is also true. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So our being born of God has an impact in the way love works in our life, whether or not we can love. Also, verse 12, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." So Christ came and he did what was necessary for us to have a right relationship with God. And if we've received that, we've been brought into a right relationship. Now, God's love is in us and working in us, and we're growing in it. It's on display among us. Look at verse 9. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us." The word "towards us" there, it really means in or amongst. That when Christ came, he lived and walked among us as humanity. He lived life right next to us. He showed us the love of God in his life right here. Going through all the daily things that we go through. Stubbing your toe on the furniture. Getting sick, whatever, all the things that could have happened to us in our life, he went through that sinlessly, perfectly, and showed us God's love through all of that. So he was among us, but now in us, because we're born of God, that when we receive him, when we receive the payment of this that Christ gave us, that now we have the love of God in us, that relationship has been made right, and we can experience it. And we can grow in it. But that's not enough. Yes, God is love and I've received it, then I have his love in me, but it doesn't stop there. It can't stop there. If it stops there, it stops short. It's to one another. God is love in us to one another. If his love is in us, then it needs to come out. If it's true on the inside, it needs to come out for us to see it. Now, you might have looked at this description that we were given here, that Christ gave of himself sacrificially to do what was necessary for us to have a right relationship with God. And you might say, that is a very tall order to meet. He loved this much, higher than I can reach, and now I feel like I'm loving at about this level. How can I love like he loved? I'm being told to in this text. How can I love the way that he did? Look at verse 12, it says, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." So understand that this is a process that we're growing in. That as the love of God is in us and it's working, that it's becoming more mature, that it's growing in us. So that we're not born again and then one day we wake up and we love everyone perfectly. But that rather we're growing in it, we're learning it, we're experiencing it. And so it's to be to one another. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." We have to do it. It's a command. It's should be a part of the Christian's nature. That because I've received the love of God, now I want to love others around me. I want to love others who are in the family, especially. Beloved, if God, in verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The way that Jesus Christ demonstrated that love, dying in our place, that is the motivation. It's because He loved us that we should love one another. That's the cause of it. That because He's changed me, I should now step out and love others. But not just with any kind of love. Not just, you know, we may have different ideas in the room, right, about what love means. And we could pull out three or four or six dictionaries and read everything about what it means to love. And we could read every verse in the Bible about what it means to love. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that because it's an open book test and the answer's right here. We have the love of God demonstrated for us here in Jesus Christ coming to the world that we might have life. In Him giving Himself to be the propitiation for our sin. So there's this self-sacrificing kind of love that Christ has for us that brings about right relationships between us and God. And that's the kind of love that we're supposed to take and show to one another. Now, loving one another in chapter 3 was a lot easier than it is here in chapter 4. In chapter 3, we talked about if you see a brother who has a need, how can the love of God be in you if you walk right past him and do nothing? You guys remember that from chapter 3? That if you see someone who has a need and you have the love of God in you, you have to do something. You have to meet that need as best you can because that's what Christ did for us. He gave of himself. Now that's the easy part of love in my opinion. Maybe for you that's the hard part. And this part in this chapter is easy. But to me, the part of I need $20, okay, here's $20. That's so easy. It's a very easy kind of love to live out. You're hungry, you need a sandwich, I'll give you a sandwich. It's very easy. It's not difficult. Peanut butter and jelly. Is that the kind of sandwich you would eat? You betcha. He would eat it if I gave him one. Okay. Smuckers. Smuckers, yeah, okay. So that's the easy part of love to me anyway. But this kind of love here that Christ is showing us, this is not so easy. This is the kind of love that takes the first step, takes initiative to do whatever is necessary to make a relationship right. That's what he did between us and God. He took the step. He did a hard thing, an impossible thing we could never do. But he did that for us in order for our relationship to be made right with God. And this is what we're supposed to show one another. Think about it. When is the last time that I took some initiative to love someone in this way? When is the last time that I did something difficult in order to reconcile something with someone else? That's what we're told to do here. Have you ever stepped out, took initiative? I have a problem between me and this person, and I have to step out and have a hard conversation with them about how to get it right. How to resolve that. How to have reconciliation. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to have here. Maybe it's something that you've offended somebody else or I've offended somebody else. Maybe I did something to offend you. Maybe I know it and I need to go admit I did wrong. I want to fix this relationship. This is the thing that Jesus did for us. This is what he did for us. Maybe it's something that you didn't do wrong. Maybe someone else is in the wrong. You know that they're in the wrong and you're going to wait like this until they come and apologize. Right? How long will that be? Maybe 20 years, maybe 100 years. Maybe they didn't even know they did something. But that's what Jesus did. He stepped out. He made that first move. He took that initiative and accomplished what was necessary to bring us in a right relationship with God. You say, I didn't even do anything wrong. Why should I have to? What did Jesus do? He didn't do anything wrong, yet he stepped out to take care of our sin problem. We ought to be willing to do that with one another. And there's the list of application could go on. We have folks that we interact with here at church every week and several times a week for most of us. We have folks at home. We have our family members. We interact with them. We have coworkers. Some of you are in school. Some of you work a job. Some of you are retired. We interact with people, and we sometimes run into these conflicts. Where have I grown in this love that sacrifices myself for the benefit of someone else in this way towards having a right relationship with them? There's another angle we need to consider. What about those who don't have the love of God? They haven't ever experienced this love of God that we have. We almost take for granted as a Christian. Like, yeah, God loves me, and nod our head, and you know. But there are some that don't have that. Maybe you're here and you don't have that. You haven't experienced this. Christ did what was necessary for you to have a right relationship. Receive that thing. Receive that gift of salvation. It's free. Don't put it off. Maybe we know someone, they're not here, they can't hear. Maybe they can't hear me online or they're not in the room. But we know someone who hasn't experienced this love that Christ has given to us. Have you taken a step to show them that love that Christ had for you? For them to experience it. Witnessing to them. Testifying to them what Jesus did for me. Have you taken that step? And this is for all of us. We all need to look inside. What am I doing to live this out in my life? That's the test. That's the test. And only you and God knows whether or not you're passing the test right now. But we have the answers in front of us. And so I have to ask, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Let's bow our heads. Lord, you made everything. You know everything. You know every heart that's here. You know those that are your children, and you know those who have not yet been born of you, who don't have that life. Lord, I pray for those who are under the sound of my voice, whether in the room or whether they're watching online, that you would just convict them of their sin, but also of the great love that you had to do what was necessary to bring us into a right relationship with you. If there's anyone who's here, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would stay, that they would ask the questions that they need to ask, get the answers that they need to get, that they wouldn't put it off any longer. And Lord, for those of us here who are believers, we've received your love. Help us to point it outward towards other people. Help us to live it out. Help us to grow in it, develop it, become mature in it. Help us to reconcile differences. Maybe in this room, we have differences that are hindering our walk with you. Help us to have the courage to take steps and show your love to one another in that way. Help us to witness to those that don't know you. Help us to share our faith. Help us to share your love. Put it on display for one another. Lord, we know that we're able to do this only because you loved us first. And we thank you for it, and we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.